It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members. KJ, yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. Came from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer,
just
that's a
fact.
Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike.
And this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome people to another episode of Late Nights and Wet Wipes. It's your co-host, not Michael Akadiri. It's me, it's RC Bill Pay's permission. It's me, it's Darren G. And to my left is
K-A-Z in between.
No.
It's nope. Not. Just normally Michael Akadiri and Darren G, but it's just Darren G.
And we have a special guest in the building. So, fuck Mike. He's not here.
Yep.
Tenjue! Come on, T4 clap. Come on, just look.
Can I clap for myself?
Yeah, clap yourself.
Clap for yourself. Definitely. Clap for the vets. Clap for the troops.
How are you doing? Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I think you're our first international guest.
Yay.
Thing is, we've gone international now.
Yep.
Yep, you hold the record for the guest from the... you haven't come from South Africa to come here today, have you?
Well, I have. It's just that I came 2 years early.
Ah, fair enough. You did. But you knew you was coming to this
you
pod.
You do need to... It's about
time.
2 years. Yes. You need to take...
Fair enough.
To muster up like the courage and the street knowledge to venture into the location we are in now.
I came to this country for this podcast. It's just that the trains were delayed.
Yeah.
So, it's good to have you on the pod. You are a comedian. You're a stand-up comedian. A very good stand-up comedian.
Oh, thank you.
Come over, or respect people who go to another country and do their thing. So, I've never left this country to do stand-up. Well, no, I've done two gigs in France before and in an Irish pub. I think that counts. Makes me an international comic.
Oui, oui.
You've gone abroad?
Hey, many times.
Obviously, I imagine the UK is not the only place you've performed. Where else have you performed?
Oh, I've performed in a lot of places. I've performed around Europe, Belgium, Germany, France. I've performed in a lot of places. America, a lot of African countries. Yeah, I've been very lucky to get opportunities to perform around the world.
Nice. So what's made you stay in the UK to perform though? What's it about this?
The NHS.
The
NHS.
They've come here for the NHS.
I fucking knew it.
It is. Well, one of the reasons. The last time I went to a South African private hospital, I went in with a headache. I came back. I came out of the hospital 2 days later. I had malaria. I had been bitten by a mosquito whilst in the hospital. So, you know, nurses took 2 days to locate my vein, something that a mosquito did in 2 seconds. Whilst it was singing in the dark. So...
Well, it's always scared me to go to hospital abroad. I've always like behaved myself and just tried to avoid any injury. But I think the level of privilege I have in the UK. Like we slag off our hospitals in England, but I've seen hospitals abroad. But I don't need to be visiting there.
No, I mean, it's you don't need to be visiting hospitals. Full stop.
No, true.
But yeah. Wherever you are, you don't want to be at a hospital.
This is true. This
but
is
true.
Unless your worst enemy is dead.
From countries that were colonized by the UK, it makes sense to come here because that's the country that told us that they were the best.
This what happened? This is the lie that...
Touchdown on the tarmac. I mean, prove it. I'm here. Yeah. Prove it. You said you was the best. Let's go.
It's like my grandparents fell for. they came here and went, yeah, this is Great Britain.
This is it.
Let's go. And they just they said
and they forced us to learn the language, so might as well come here and make money out of it.
Yeah, damn right.
100%, man.
And that is what you've been doing with the stand up.
Yes.
That is really wicked. But I was gonna ask, so it is a parenting podcast and you are a parent.
Yes, I am.
Parent. How many children do you have?
Did it once, did it right, didn't need to do it again.
It's just the one.
Don't let my mum.
I just feel like if your mum has one, how many?
Just me. Now she's probably going to steal that line.
Yeah, because unless the first one is broken, then you can have another one.
So all second children out there, let it be known.
You are broken. You know, toys.
In third world countries, we have more because we have the one that we really like. And then because we can't afford toys, we have the rest so that he has something to play with. But because I could afford toys by the time I had a child, I didn't need to have more.
So either if you're a second child, you're just a toy for the first child. Or first child, if you have a younger sibling, it's because they weren't satisfied with you.
Yeah.
And they needed to go
one
again.
One or the other, yeah.
One or the other. I mean, that's good.
And also, it's risky to have more than one, especially if you read the Bible, because, you know...
Cain and Abel.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
What happened? I haven't read it. I've only seen a movie.
You do not know about Cain and Abel?
I've only seen like the trailer of the movie.
Is there even a film?
Is there?
I haven't read the book.
Well,
I haven't read Harry Potter either.
No, I haven't seen any Harry Potter films.
I've seen all the Harry Potter
I've films. Seen one scene where he disappears on the train. Oh, look who it is.
Sweaty Betty.
Flipping idiot.
Look at this guy. And he's coming in talking,
bro. No, coming in talking. Did you know we're recording?
Coming in silence, bro.
Just slip into the pod.
As well, man. Get some tissue.
All shiny.
God damn, boy.
How can we continue that you've walked in and disrupted the pod? No, no, wipe your head in here.
Yeah,
just use your t-shirts. You're in the pod,
come on,
now.
Man, old school.
Just sit down. This guy.
And he's got his Calvin Klein boxers on, showing off.
Idiot.
Why are you busting low as well, man? You're a grown man.
But you're wearing links.
Oh, you're looking kind of hench today, though.
Yeah.
Them traps are trapping. I'm trying to look like a manual Snoopy.
Hey, come on. Hey. I'm trying to take any... Sorry.
Sister.
This guy.
What?
Shut up.
I'm respectful. No.
He's never.
Let me explain. Let me explain.
Brothers.
No. Never the point done. Is, I'm on this. I had a brand meeting the other week about personal branding.
Oh, yeah. Who got you that?
I had a brand meeting the other
who
day.
Who got you the brand meeting?
About personal branding.
Yep.
Who got you the brand?
It was your connect.
Are you going to share some tips about?
Yeah. I'm going to share the tips I did. Share the tips I didn't take on board.
Pause. So, stop saying sharing tips.
You searched for that. You really went in for that one. You
come
really
on, get comfortable.
Deep.
You look awkward.
Yeah. Right. You look like you don't.
Like no. What I will say, it was talking about in acting with integrity, acting with purpose, having impact, and I feel that I've let myself down. I let my personal brand down by my tardiness. So that's why.
Oh,
I apologize for coming in late, disrupting the flow of the pod.
We weren't putting up on your apology.
What were you doing?
You're putting up on sister.
Yeah. What should I say? Broski.
But you've never greeted us like that.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to familiarity. If you're more familiar, because we do the pod as we do weekly, I don't need to be like my brother Kazim, my good brother.
I'd like it.
Yeah,
Brother Kazim.
Yo, well,
you good? You blessed?
Yes, man.
How's the family? You good?
I don't know.
Because Kazim wanted you to say my good sister Kazim.
Oh, yeah. Let's switch it up. My good sister Kazim. What's going on? What's going on, sis?
Get off me.
Bestie. Come on, bestie.
Okay.
Where were we at? So I can join
we
the flow.
We were just asking our esteemed guest about performing around the world. What were you talking about, performing around the world?
No, broken kids.
Broken kids. And then I had a question about performing around the world. But yes, we're talking about broken kids. Basically, a little bit of wisdom from Tendray is that if you are the first and only child,
yeah,
then your parents are satisfied. They've, did it once, done it well.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I'm with that.
If you have siblings, it could mean that they're too poor for toys, so you're just a toy for the older sibling to play with.
No doubt.
Or it could be a sign that the first child was not good enough and put it down. Had to go again.
Yeah, I'm not the firstborn, so I'll run with that.
What were you in the lineup?
Third.
Ooh, god damn.
Yeah, so they kept trying.
What does third mean?
Yeah, what does third mean? What are you doing? I'm sweating.
You sweat like that in surgery?
Yeah, just dripping on the patient. Go on. Well, yeah, so we know what first
obviously
means.
Obviously, the first two are not good enough. Otherwise, they would have stopped.
So what does third... I'm third born, so tell me
and
what I mean.
And how many after you?
Only one. They slowed down.
So they eventually just gave up.
They just gave up. They said,
I think, because there's like a four-year gap between my brother and I. So it's like, I think they were very happy. And then, accidents.
Well, they thought they had stopped. And then 4 years later, they were like, have you seen what it's like?
I could have been trouble. I've not. We were meant to do this. What's funny? I wanted to leave to go wipe myself down.
I wanted to stay on the pod to be shiny.
Yeah, I'll shut. I don't care, man. Fuck it. It'll help us go viral.
It's
anyway,
making me so uncomfortable.
Why are you uncomfortable? Why are you uncomfortable? Because it's just never.
Because you're not even like
you played rugby before.
You're just firm in it as well. You're not even like
I'm trying to hold it down
with it.
Yeah, but if you start moving,
can't you feel that?
Yeah, but you hold it down.
It gives the sweat gives me the sensation of having hair.
Yeah, that's why I'm sweating.
It's like a fringe.
That was good. I like that. Anyway, let's get into the floor of the pod.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I had one more question. So, what are the like differences of gigging here and in South Africa?
The main difference is that here you're going to be performing in English. In right. South Africa, we have 13 official languages.
Third official?
Yes.
Woo! I love that.
Can you name any other one, Michael?
Afrikaans.
You've got one? There you go.
Zulu?
Yeah.
Hausa?
No.
No.
Oh my God, that's racist.
No, I can't do it, but I know. Yes, there you go.
Hey, I was never going to get that. I can try, but
I can spell it, but I can't do it. I can't say it. X-H-O.
Yeah,
you
got
it. So Hausa, Afrikaans.
Not Hausa.
Hausa is your lot.
Stop
up north.
Us Hausa. It's not
that's
ours.
Your lot up north. This is why they don't like you lot.
I know. It's
you lot think you just run
South
whole
Africans
of Africa, innit?
That's their problem. No, it's hostile.
We're the richest country in Africa.
Yes, I'm loving that.
That's great. Okay. Let's not get to the foreign war or African country war.
I'm just. It wasn't a war. Carry on.
No. Okay. I want to know the 13. So we've got English. You say it.
I can't.
Hausa?
No,
how do you say it?
You say it again.
Okay, we have 9 tribes in South Africa.
Yeah.
So it's Zulu.
Yes.
Xhosa.
Yes.
You say it, Michael.
Sotho.
No, they haven't finished. She's on the floor.
Ndebele.
I need that one.
Tswana. Okay, Sotho is, there's northern and there's southern.
Yeah.
So that's 2. Which other one? Why am I forgetting?
Well, because we put you under unnecessary pressure, yeah. That's why.
It's so unnecessary. Yeah. So we as a country, we should really have 9 languages.
Yeah.
But then we know how the other ones got there. And then we have sign language as well.
I see.
And then, so when your promoter books you, do they book you in the language that they want you to perform in?
Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't, because you can have followers of... who are people who speak different languages. So, especially if you perform in the cities,
yeah,
it could be anyone in the audience. Yeah, sometimes you just waste your English and it's people who understand your home language.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you go and you see a group of black people, you're like, yay, I'm performing in my home language, only to find that they speak a language that's totally different from yours.
Wow.
So you have to perform in English. So we tend to spend the first few minutes trying to figure out what language you're going to perform in.
That's a different type of challenge, because
isn't it?
You're normally trying to find out who's in the audience in terms of like what type of content am I going to use. You're even thinking before you get to the content. You're thinking about what
because we get shook about like some get shook about like performing outside of London. So they're not going to get my stuff.
But whereas junior booker outside like, South London.
Yeah, whereas you're full different language. And how many of them can you speak?
I speak 3.
Three.
I perform in 2.
English and Zulu.
Yes.
Yeah. I find that fascinating. And then how I don't know, did you guys ask about how big the South African circuit is? No.
And also you can have a lineup of comedians who all are speaking different languages.
That. How's the green room?
It's nice, because we're so used to it. English we're so together. Used to people. Also, we can speak different languages to each other. If I understand your language, you understand mine. I speak my language, you speak your language.
Oh, but you just can't converse.
Yes. Or refuse to converse. Not that it's not necessarily because you don't understand the language that you don't converse in it.
Is it like when you say you don't want, is it like there's a political reason behind not conversing in?
For some of it, yes, but for some of it just we just got used to living in the cities where, especially people who come from Johannesburg, people who come from Pretoria. In Pretoria, we have a township called Soshanguve, which was its whole purpose was for the segregation purposes. Mm. So they put different people from different tribes. It's Soshanguve because it's Soto, Shangan, Nguni, and Venda people.
Also, the Portman.
Yeah,
the
now some of the languages I forgot to mention. So they put them together. Thinking they will not be able to communicate with each other, so they would be forced to speak English. But what happened is they ended up teaching each other's language.
Wow!
So they speak each other's language, and then it just became something that people did.
Wow! And sort of like that tradition continues.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh wow! So is there like so in South Africa, is it like an African circuit, and then there's like a Zulu circuit?
There's a main circuit, there's a white circuit, there's a black circuit, there's an Indian circuit, there's an English circuit, there's a Zulu circuit. There are so many circuits, and because of the nature of the country, do come from a segregated history, history of segregation. But yes, you do find us in the same rooms, you do find us performing with people from different backgrounds, different races. But we do have a Zulu circuit. We do have an African circuit. We do.
That is so... Who would you say... And to be the... If you want to succeed in the South African comedy scene, do you have to have a hand in these all different circuits? Do you have to...
Not necessarily. There are people who are very successful who have no intention to even leave Durban to go to Johannesburg. They are happy in Durban. They're doing very well. And they're just killing the Zulu circuit, and that's all they want. Not because they don't speak English, they're degree educated, but they just choose to only perform in Zulu, and they're doing very well.
I love that.
Then you have white people who've learned Zulu just so that they can perform in Zulu as well. So it's your choice. You decide what you want to do, what you're happy with.
Oh, wow. That's intentional. Like, not the learning language just to, like, know it, to, like, perform comedy in it. Because, obviously, there's one thing learning language, but obviously to do comedy in a language is an even high-level command of that language, isn't it? So
yeah, and it's very difficult to translate jokes. It's one of the most difficult things. Because even when... Because I do a lot of YouTube content.
Yeah.
I'm a content creator as well. And sometimes people complain, you speak in your language, but there are things that I can only say in my language cannot translate. Once you translate it, it's going to be lost. It's not going to be funny. Even when you try to put subtitles, you're like, nah, it's lost its meaning. Because sometimes it's how you say it rather than what you are saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you write your jokes? What language do you write your jokes in?
Both Zulu and English. Depends what I think of. There are jokes that I can say in both languages, but there are jokes that are just Zulu. You can't translate them to a different language. And then there are jokes that are just only funny in English.
Yeah. And what made you come over to the UK? Was it for comedy? Like, where did you get to with your sort of journey on the South African circuit before you sort of came for pastures you knew here?
So after high school, I studied drama. I did drama. That was my first qualification. And then, because I come from Durban.
Yeah.
Then I moved to Johannesburg, which is our Hollywood.
Okay, so that's where, if you want to be a star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
And then I realized, things are slow. You need to have money, even to go to auditions. Johannesburg is very much like London, like moving from Birmingham to London. You realize if you want to live in a nicer area, you have to have money.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And you can't be asking your parents who've just finished paying for you at uni and now pay for me again. They expect you to now find a job, find a real job.
Yeah, of course.
So I left to go to America.
Oh, wow.
As an au pair.
Ah, right.
And the plan was to raise money.
That's a nanny. You look confused.
Okay. I'm here. I'm with you.
English is his first language.
Any
French loan words, he's lost.
I also thought it was a fancy job. Anyway, that's a story for another day.
So you're in the where in America did you transplant yourself to?
I went to New York but I was in New York for like a month. Then I went to Ohio.
Okay.
Shit.
Because obviously New York, you mentioned we're in London now. You spoke about Joburg, which I presume is quite multicultural. New York is very much multicultural. How was Ohio in that regard?
It was very interesting. I lived with a black family.
Were you in Cleveland?
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
And they were very, very rich, very well off, both doctors. And they did very well. So I lived the high life, beautiful house, everything. Wow. Yeah.
And then did you stunt to your people back home? Like, were you taking photos and sending them back home to South Africa to be, hey, look how I'm living. Come join me if you want.
A lot of people at home are not interested in going to other countries.
Oh, wow.
And they were just happy to see photos of the snow. So after that, my visa ran out. There were options to renew it, but there were options I didn't want to take. And then...
Well, that 90-day fiancé set in, so I have to marry someone.
I did that here in London.
Resourceful.
And then... So there was an opportunity. They used to have a visa here called... working holiday, where they'd give you a visa for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was like, let me go to London rather than overstay my welcome. Absolutely. In America, or commit myself to doing a visa and then ending up doing jobs I don't like for the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I came here, and the plan was to just do 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I looked around. I was like, I like this. I remembered how our land was stolen. So I was like, my land is going to be sexually transmitted back to me.
So you've been enjoying yourself in London.
Found myself an Englishman, found myself a British passport.
Hey, come on.
Made my ancestors proud.
Hey, come on.
And then I went to school to study.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I do actually need to do what my parents had always been telling me to, like, get a real job. So I studied law.
Oh, very nice. Where at? Are you happy to say what institution?
No.
Okay.
But it was here in London.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because my learned friends, sometimes they don't like it when I say it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, understood.
And then... It was when I was doing law that I fell into comedy.
Okay. And so how long or how far into your law degree was you when
I finished. I qualified. I was working when I got into comedy.
Oh, nice.
And then, we were out after a hard day at work. We were out in a pub. I can't even remember, but it was a pub in London.
Yeah.
And they had an open mic.
Mm.
So they were like, hey, you always make us laugh. Just go on. They didn't even know that my first love was acting anyway. I had done...
Yeah, of course.
A degree. So I went on stage and I just knew this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
What, from the first laugh?
Yeah. And I just had so much fun. So I just started doing more.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, this is what I want to do. So I pursued it full time. I went back home.
Okay. Back to Durban home or Johannesburg home?
In between, both. Yeah, both. Because when I was first starting comedy here, I started doing comedy videos, because there were things I would want to say on stage, but I knew it would not be relevant to the audience here. And right. also some things I wanted to say in my own language. So I just started picking up my phone and recording myself and posting.
And that was the content creating style.
Yes, that's how it started. Okay. And then people would be like, oh, you've gone viral. I didn't even know what viral meant. So.
And what year was this? What year? So just so there's a timeline for the people listening and watching. What year had you 2013. Started?
2013.
2013. Right. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So it was 2013. Then I went back home. The plan was to just get people to do more content with, because that's when I realized, because YouTube sent me a paycheck. I was like, I didn't know this thing pays. So I fell more in love with it. So I went home to create content with other people in my language, because I started creating content in Zulu.
Yeah.
And I created some stuff, found people, very talented people, and we created, I had written some stuff. And then one of the television networks was like, hold on, we don't want this on YouTube, we want it on our TV. So I got two sitcoms. I got commissioned for two sitcoms.
Oh, very, congratulations.
Thank you. So I stayed at home, had fun, traveled around the world, doing comedy, doing everything. And then COVID came. And then I remembered I have a British passport, and I remembered the NHS.
There you go. Respect it.
So I came back to clap for the nurses.
Hey!
Wicked. So you got one child. So they born UK or?
Yes,
so
they were born in the UK.
British child. Cool. Makes sense. So did they go back with you to South Africa?
He does. He's lived in South Africa as well. He's lived around the world. Because I want him to know that the world is his home. He can choose wherever he wants to live. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How have you sort of, because it's interesting, because I speak for me, because my parents came from Nigeria, then they raised my brothers and I here. So I guess we're second generation immigrants. So your child is almost like, I guess, similar in a way as a first or second generation immigrant. How have you tried, I know you've taken a different place, but have you tried to raise him as you're a South African in the UK, or have you tried to raise him as, oh, well, you're British South African, like, is there a mode of parenting you've had?
I'm a very African mom. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I was raising him at home, because children get away with a lot here. And then no you doubt. Guys have things like social services. And in this country, you can't bribe the police.
Hey, yeah.
So I raise him in a very, very African way. My son doesn't know that he's the only child I have. He thinks he has a lot of siblings that I left behind.
My cousin used to say
that. I have a reason for that. Because if he knows that he's the only one I have, then he knows if I die, he gets to inherit everything. So I'll have to watch my back in my own house. So I can't risk that. I want to be able to sleep.
So you got to think, I know I'm the only one.
How do you know?
Because I know, man.
You don't know.
I know I'm the only one, bro.
You don't know.
Maybe that's what they're telling you.
I walk into my mum's house with my son and I say, one day, son, this is ours. This is all ours, man.
So you try to put your mum in a home already. Like, she's like, she's in her 50s. Like, get in the home.
If I hear a bang, I'm like, did you fall?
You see, that's why I don't tell my son.
You're not gonna call Nana. Yeah.
So he just thinks he's lucky. Even on my phone, I save him as my favorite son.
In fact, so he knows there's competition.
So that he keeps, like, behaving well. Because there are so many things sometimes I wish I could do to punish him.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'm in the UK.
So my cousin used to tell my cousin, her son, that he used to have an older brother. But she killed him for talking too much.
Hey!
And so.
It's a bit much.
Yo!
So he needs to shut his mouth. And so she always used that as a threat. And then we thought, he knows it's a joke.
Yeah.
Until, like, he's about 6 or 7. Then he asked my auntie, so his grandma was like, did I actually have an older brother? She was just like, no. No.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do that to your children in order to behave. What I do to my son to keep him well behaved. As when they play those BBC adverts that they like about the African children, I just make him sit and watch and just go, look at Gloria. Your sister. Just look at all those flies on her face.
Oh my goodness.
Just look at her drinking dirty water. If only she didn't talk back to me, she'd be <dead. laughs> So he knows he's lucky. And also, I keep a list. I write a list. When he does something wrong,
yeah,
I write it down and make him sign. So that when we go back to Africa, I can...
This is the lawyer. This is the lawyer.
I can punish him.
did you not watch the plate? Sign.
Yeah. Why would you sign it, though?
So that he remembers, he knows I'm not lying. As soon as we land in Africa, I'm like, you remember on the 4th of August, 2022.
Hey,
I ain't signing that.
When you didn't clean your room.
That's a Suge Knight
control. Actually, that is a perfect segue to listeners' question, right? So I've got a question from a listener. So it's about Nanya Charles. So how do you decide responsibility with chores while still letting kids be kids? So I grew up as an only child with a stay-at-home mum. My only job was to excel at school and my extracurriculars. And while sometimes I would help her with full house cleans and putting my laundry away, she would basically do everything for me and my father. I don't necessarily agree with this approach. While it was very generous of her, I think I would have better time management skills now. I'm 30, a 30-year-old female with a toddler. If I had more chores to do instead of my schoolwork and sports. On the other hand, I don't think it's fair to, for example, make your older kid babysit younger siblings all the time because that's more of a parent's job. It makes sense to me at this point that everyone in the house should care for the house and have regular chores to do and learn to have pride for caring for the house they live in addition to learning those necessary life skills. How do you all decide the level of responsibility and chores to give your kids on a regular basis in addition to allowance and payment for chores?
Payment for chores?
Yeah. So
I'm going to let our esteemed guest start.
Yeah.
How old
is your son?
My son is 18 now.
18 now.
Cool. And I don't make him do a lot of things because I feel like when I'm dead, then people can make him do things. As long as he has a mother, as long as he... Because I make him do some things as punishment. But because... I don't agree with people who blame their parents for things they do not know or things they do not do in their adulthood.
Yeah.
Because, oh, my mother didn't teach me this. Did your mother teach you to do doggy style? No. People learn what they want to learn.
It's true.
You learn what you want to learn. That's
these are facts.
I've never had it presented to me like that. That's fantastic. So, to that end, have you
taught your son how to do doggy style? Is that what you're saying? Is that what the question was going?
I'm gonna be a bit more PC than that.
That's a wild clip. We can't clip that.
Yes, we can.
But have you taught him Zulu? Is that something that you've sort of passed on?
No, and yes, he does understand it.
Okay, brilliant.
Well, not all of it. It's not an easy language.
Mm-hmm.
We click a lot, yeah. And because we did not. I did not raise him, especially in his primitive years, in a Zulu-speaking community.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I wish he could speak it. And I know should he want to speak it, he can learn. People learn.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, our languages don't really... They just for a sense of pride. Because even our presidents, they address us in English. Even if you applying to be a Zulu teacher, your forms are gonna be in English.
Oh wow!
So it's like English is a commercial language. It's a business language.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
It's an international language. Because Zulu, even in other African countries, I can't even utilize it. So I prioritized teaching him English.
Yeah, of course.
And also because in my household, English was not my household where I grew up, but my house.
Yeah,
because his father is English. Yes, we speak English. And yeah, I wish I had taught him. I'd advise parents, if you can, to teach your children. But it becomes very difficult because we don't even have like TV programs, or even if you go to an African church, everything is done in English. So we don't have spaces where we can take our children, especially if we raise them abroad, where they can be exposed to our languages. I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Like my parents speak Yoruba. I know when I'm being told off or insulted. Yeah. That's the priority. I know the priorities, but I couldn't have I couldn't converse in Yoruba, which is something I'm disappointed about. But on my vision board, so on my vision board is taking Yoruba classes. I actually want to go to SOAS in the evening. They do like evening Yoruba classes to learn Yoruba, because I want to be able to pass it on to my son. That's
what's SOAS? School of Oriental and African Studies.
There we go.
Yeah, if you do that, shout me. I'll come with you.
You run it. Yeah, come. Yeah, man. Just pass it on to the. So yeah, I would love to, because I want to just impart that knowledge. I know it's one of the things where, of course, Yoruba is not going to be on the international stage in terms of business, of course, but there's a sense of pride.
A sense of pride, to sense pass of belonging as well.
Yeah, of course.
Sense of knowing who you are. But I've always taught him that it doesn't matter where he is in the world, he'll always be African.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take a stick, you put it in a river, come back 100 years later, it's not going to be a fish. So just because you are in England doesn't stop you from being African.
Mm-hmm.
So he must always know that.
Yeah.
And that's what people see first before they see your passport. It's not everyone you meet who's an immigration officer who's going to see your British passport. They see an African. You are an African. And carry yourself with pride of being an African.
Damn, that's straight out of the Dr. Umar playbook. I like that. No, that's straight out of the playbook.
We don't reference that guy anymore.
Oh, the beef is real.
Especially as his sister just got married to a white person.
Do you know what? Okay, that meme, yeah? I've not fully investigated, but what I saw, they said the lady in the meme, her surname is Johnson. Dr. Umar's real name is not Dr. Umar Johnson. It's a stage name.
Dr. Umar Johnson's sister has married a white person.
The person in the photo said her name is Johnson.
Nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying he thinks there's something wrong with that. And his sister did it. So
I don't know if that's even his biological sister. I think it's just a convenient rumor.
And if his name's not really Dr. Umar Johnson,
his name is Jermaine Shoemaker.
Why would he pick Johnson? Why would he not pick an African surname?
No, you gotta ask him that.
He's pick a westernized surname.
Gotta ask him that. Well, that's why he changed it to Ifatunde. Maybe he realized the errors of his ways.
Yeah, it's true. His name is Jermaine Shoemake.
There we go.
Shoemake.
Yeah, not Shoemaker. Yeah. Shoemake.
So you're really beefing him?
Yeah, I don't like that guy, man.
Oh. So if he was doing like a London show, you wouldn't put
I'd put up and Johnson
the whole
show.
Oh my goodness.
Johnson is his stepmother's name.
Mm.
So his stepmother is Bernice Elizabeth Dawkins Abdullah Johnson, and so that's his surname is Abdullah Johnson. So
but I like that. That was very powerful. I think it's all about instilling pride into your child. If you sort of can, are you scared? Because obviously, I presume you live in London, and my son is obviously very young. He's only 19 months. So he's very young, but there's a little part of me. And I talk about it in the show I'm doing about, you know, him being a young boy, a young black boy to that effect, and like growing up in London with how it is now. It may not be like that in 15 years when he's a teenager. But with your boy being 18 now, do you have any fears as a parent? Is that something that's in your consciousness?
I do.
Or like, how do you navigate those fears? Can you navigate those fears? I don't know.
I think it's just something you have as a parent. You worry when they're 2 minutes late. You worry about the friends that they choose. You just worry as a parent. But having said that, as much as every country has its problems, but I think I am less worried here than I would be back home. Because at least I worry about what would happen to him when I die a lot. because I lost my parents at a young age. But being here, knowing that there are opportunities, there are jobs, like it will be up to him.
Yeah.
If he wanted a good future, everything's in his hands. It's not like being in a country where there are no jobs.
Yeah.
Where you need connection, where you need, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So I worry, but what can we do?
Because you're kind of unique, because you're a mother, obviously, of African descent, who is a creative, which you don't often see.
Mm.
So are you quite like to your child, to your boy, oh, you be going to creative field, do what you want, or are you kind of hard like that? No, I want you to be one of these professional jobs.
I want him to do whatever he wants to do, whatever makes him happy. I want him to fail. I want him to make mistakes now rather than when he's 45. I've been working for a long time. It's overrated, this thing of forcing children to start working at an early age.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been working for 30, 40 years. They have nothing to show for it except like wear and tear from their body. And he used to do comedy with me. I used to tour with him.
Really?
And then when he decided to stop, I didn't argue. I let him stop.
Oh, brilliant.
He thinks he's the next biggest rapper.
So are we raps?
Yeah.
What type of, like, drill?
I have no idea. I just know that his studio equipment was very expensive, but I made him work to buy it because that's something he wanted to do.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah.
Because he used to rap.
He still raps at the start of each podcast.
He used to rap.
I'll rap you up right now, mate.
Go on.
He raps at the start of each podcast.
Drop a 16.
Tyler style. Go Tyler. Go full Tyler.
Yeah. You want me to rap a 16?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, ready?
Looking in the index for buff niggas with buff necks for me and Mike to have some hot butt sex.
Sounds good. Keep going.
You know how I'm fazed by that. I really don't care.
It's not my bars, it's Tyler the Great. I was listening to it before we came in. What do you mean I used to rap? I didn't used to. How do you know what I used to do?
You would.
I've only known you 6 years.
Yeah.
So how do you know what I used to do?
You talk about in your stories and your show.
No, I don't.
That's 20% of your life. You know him.
Yeah.
Fuck off, your accountant.
And the thing with children is we've all been children.
Absolutely.
And you look back when you were 21.
Yeah.
You thought you knew it all. You thought you were old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I did.
You
were, I did
you
know
You thought
all.
You were grown.
Every I've learned since then has been just pointless.
And you learn the most important lessons from the mistakes you make.
Absolutely.
And my family trusted me. I was the first one to ever go to live overseas in a country that nobody had ever been in.
Yeah.
There were stories, because, you know, like, everyone's going to have a story about prostitution, this and that. Oh. But my family trusted me.
Oh, so they thought that's what you could end up doing if you go to a foreign country by yourself.
There's always a neighbor who knows someone who knows someone, you know.
And they didn't realize the daughter.
So the rumor mill
decided
start.
To be a stripper.
Yes.
When she went to America. They're like, no, they forced me to be a stripper. It's like,
so you just have to trust your child.
Yeah. Mm.
You can only tell them what path to take because you're not with them 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather he does thing and I'm aware of rather than he doesn't. Because when I was growing up, I had friends as well.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends who got into drugs was because their parents were really strict.
Mm.
And so if they came home smelling of alcohol,
yeah,
they get beaten up. So they started taking things that do not smell.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Can't okay. smell it if it's up your nose.
Yeah.
It's
an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah. No doubt. Yes, because there is all that. I think there's truth in that. Like, not that I've seen any studies, but I always suspected, like, when I got to university, freshers, first year, the people who would move reckless would always be the ones that their parents, up to that point, were the strictest.
Yes. Shout out to all the girls who went to single-sex schools and Catholic kids and the religious other religious kids at uni shout you guys out.
Children of pastors, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
They got their freedom.
Why are you shouting them out, Darren?
Because they went wild in Freshers Week.
Mm.
Yep.
You enjoyed?
Mm. Uh-huh. For them?
It feels like a reminiscence.
It was a cultural experience for everyone.
Okay.
Because I'm convinced that because they've just been on such a tight leash, when they get released into the wild, they do not know what to do. They're like, and they just, it's reckless.
Plus, it's in my face.
Plus, there's no preparation for it as well, right? Because no, because it's true. Because I remember being at uni, like, I told my people went to same-sex schools. I just remember, like, being at uni and, like, yeah, I talked to a girl. It's fine because I went to school with girls. Whereas I was speaking to a girl in the library. Come back and
well, you're not meant to be speaking in there. That's the problem, though.
No, anyway, I've come back from speaking to her, and this guy who I was friends with, who I'd lived with, he goes, yeah. So that girl you speak to, I was like, yeah. He goes, so you like, you going to fuck her? I was like, what? I was like, what?
What's an
insult? I was like, what?
I think it's time to admit that I went to uni with Darren.
Yeah, and I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, I just saw you talking to her, and I just assumed. I was like, we're on the same course. We're in a group. We're doing group work together. He's just like, oh, sorry, I misread it. I was like, bro, like we're in the library.
You're dyslexic.
Yeah, and he just went to an all-boys school. He hadn't ever spoken to girls.
He's moist because I went to an all-boys school and there was a mixed school on our same road as our school, and there was a girls' school up the road and another girls' school by the high school.
And you probably decided to talk to
those
girls.
We rolled out after school every day to go and chat up these girls after school.
Yeah, that makes sense. But he was not doing that.
I'll tell you after, man.
Yeah, so he was not doing that. So he got to uni.
That's where I live. Just start Googling it.
Oh, fair enough. Go.
Yeah. So that's things. So yeah, I don't think you should put your kids on.
What was your friend's name?
Aaron, because his name was Aaron. Yeah.
Aaron, you feel moist.
But yes, that's why me and my wife decided, our kids aren't going to a single sex.
It's
annoying,
bus.
Though, because the best school in our town is an all-girls school.
Oh, wow. But is there not a boys' school
around
the corner?
There's no all-boys equivalent, so we can't let our daughter have excellent education. And then our son has this mediocre. They both have mediocre shit education together.
That's it. That's equality. That's real equality. That's it, man. Right. Hold on back. So with you, are you kind of like a micromanager of your son? Are you like, if he's going somewhere, text when you get there, text when you get back? Are you kind of like hands off? Like you tell me, you come to me if you need me, I'll leave you sort of be.
Text when he gets where?
Like if he goes out, like Friday.
I leave him at home, lock him in his room. He's not allowed
the
phone.
South African Fritzel.
He's not allowed a phone. He's not allowed friends. No, I don't micromanage, but I do like to know where he is, and that's one thing he doesn't understand. Just let me know where you are, so that if they say something happened at location B, I know my son was there. Mm. I don't need to know what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I just need to know where you are. And when you are coming home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, it took me a while to accept that from my mum. That's
the
reason.
It's just concern.
Yeah, it's just concern. It's just it's just knowing, like I said, when something happens. Stuff. And yeah, and like, because we went to uni in Birmingham. And my mum always used to, as soon as anything happened in the West Midlands, she'd mess with me. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Like, do you hear that someone got stabbed? I was like, where? And she'd be like, in Wolverhampton. I was like, mum, I'm in Birmingham. Like, that's nowhere near me. She goes, yeah, but are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. This is like natural. But one time, she told me about someone being stabbed. And I was like, mum, look, I've told you about this. Like, I've been here for a year. Yeah. Like, you keep on just saying these random places. Oh, she goes, no, sorry, I shouldn't have said anything. She goes, no, just they got stabbed. And so I just thought I'd recognise the name of the place. And I was like, okay, whatever. Drop the call. Now walk out of my uni. Usually where I'm going to walk out, police have called it off. And I was like, oh, that's strange. Like, so I called my mum, going, where did you hear? She's like, oh, it was like by like Matthew Bolton
college? Yeah, that was on my campus. Yeah, that was very close to
where I'm in danger.
I was like, fair enough. That was a fair call. But you're right to be worried and lose sleep.
I've even told him, because I know he can get bullied, but yeah. Always speaking to mom. Yeah. So I always tell him, if I send you a message or a call, just go to the toilet and then reply.
And then you could be honest. I think I said to you, you're about to say something as well.
Just say my mum was always on my case.
Yeah.
Always.
That's where you are. Where
you should worry when your mum or your partner is not on your case.
That's true.
It means they've given up.
Thank God.
That's a very fair point. Yeah, if they're not nagging you, then yeah, there's a reason that they're not nagging you. But yes, is that love?
Nah, don't just leave me alone.
Is this from your mum?
Everyone. Don't ask me where I am.
I just tell him be careful because your life cover is not ready yet.
get the money right first.
Yeah.
But I remember this is silly, but in terms of concern, as you guys were talking about, I remember when I must have been 9 when I turned on the TV and obviously they're reporting 9/11 happening, Twin Towers are there. And I've got an uncle in America. So my first thought was, like, is my uncle safe? I was like, is my uncle safe? And then I was like, cool, let's call him. And then little did I know that he's in Virginia. New York is like 6 hours away.
Yeah.
But I didn't know this. So the whole sort of thing of knowing where someone is sort of relevant. You just want to know so you're at sort of peace of mind. So.
Here's my thing. Text me when you get there so I know you're safe.
Yep.
Yeah. If I text you and say, I'm here, but I'm not safe.
I'm home.
Ain't doing shit.
But so are 4 other guys.
You ain't doing shit.
No. You ain't doing something.
Text me when you get there so I know you're safe. Okay, if I don't text you. There's been plenty of times I've got somewhere and not text someone and I've not heard from them. You were out like Drake, like creeping down the block. Hey, made a right. Hey, you weren't looking for me.
It's not that you can't.
They just call you more.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. I just share my location on WhatsApp for like an hour. So when I leave my mum's, I'll share my location.
Yeah.
And go, I will forget to call you when I get home. So
track this.
So you can just look at this to see if I get home in an hour. And if I don't, then you can give me a call. but usually what happens, she cusses me for getting home too quickly.
Just so they can throw in the complaint. That's just someone throwing in the complaint because they can.
How do you get home already? It's like, because the road's clear. It's like,
Speed. I break the law. I remember when my wife, she studied abroad for a while, and then she would sometimes send me to track her car journey. So she was in Slovakia, so she would send me a link to track her car. So I'm in London, and she's like...
I remember he's got a joke, didn't he?
And then I was like...
Peace of mind. Like,
No. Slovakia.
You've got to call someone. You can call the police.
Let me send it to your friends in Slovakia. Send it to Liam Neeson.
I just knew if anything happened, I'm just watching the kidnapping live. That's all I'm just observing.
You say this on stage.
I've done it before, but I've not done
that line.
Kidnapping live. Yeah. That's because you literally can't do nothing. And I used to talk about how like to get a flight to fuck it, so like it's 2 hours anyway. So even if I was gonna be mad and be like, fuck it, I'm going out there, and then I go to the airport, jump on, like
your plane is delayed.
they've got a good 7 hour head start.
This guy could have done a mad thing by this point.
I don't know who you are.
As soon as I find my passport, I'll be there.
As soon as this plane stops getting delayed, I probably still won't know where to find you. Because I've never been to Slovakia.
Give the phone to my wife. I want to find out where my passport is.
And he's like, no way, speaking English.
Is this country still in the EU? Okay, I'm going to have to join the other queue.
You know what? When I did that bit initially, it was during like COVID. So I was doing it when I was basically, I'll have to get there after quarantine for 2 weeks and all that other shit. So yeah, it's throwback, man.
Listen, if I had a wife and they were sending me their live location in a different country, good luck in it. Like, I'll make sure that
No, you can call the authorities.
Remember, the kids remember you once a year.
You call the authorities.
No,
you call the authorities.
If I'm in the middle of a FIFA game.
No, on a serious note, you'll call the authorities.
If I'm in the middle of a FIFA game.
When I send locations, when I go on a date, I send locations to all my exes.
This could be us, but you're broke.
You never wait to see for them to see it on Instagram the day after. Suddenly, you just go direct to their inbox. I love that. I love that.
So to get into your business, so you on dates, so are you with your son's father?
No.
No.
But I can't speak for him. He could be with me.
Issa's at home. Going, where's she coming home to make me dinner? It's like, I haven't eaten in like 13 years. He just sat there. It's like,
he's famished. He's like, in the time she's left, I've learned Zulu. You know? I've learned the whole language.
He's like, still can't find my socks. Oh, that's
too funny. That is too funny.